it's so exciting, really. But I have good news and bad news for the audience here and the state of Nebraska and the world. The bad news is that indeed, if current trends continue, we are not going to meet food demand and at the same time protect the environment that we care about. That would be water quality, natural ecosystems such as rainforests, wetlands, and grassland savannas, and all the biodiversity and habitat that it contains. The good news is, as I think JB mentioned, and as I think you'll hear recurrently at the conference today, is that if we have the vision to understand what's happening today currently, and with all the scientific underpinnings, that can allow us to prioritize our research agenda and focus on those constraints that can help us meet this challenge, which is essentially doubling food capacity on the existing land base in agriculture. You can't spread it out. And at the same time, protecting all the environmental services we're interested in, which is biodiversity, water quality, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, energy efficiency, soil quality, and so forth. Now, the fact is that although we've enjoyed a green revolution in the past 40 years that's been much heralded in science, literature, and in the popular press, that revolution mainly succeeded in raising productivity. It did not succeed, and we have many stories about the negative environmental consequences of the first green revolution. Think of this, going forward, oh, and by the way, that first green revolution involved a massive expansion of irrigated area. It involved new germplasm and so forth. But going forward, we not only have to double yields again, but we have to do it by lowering the environmental footprint of agriculture as we go. This has never been done in all of human history, and it's the only way in which we can reach a stable world population of 9 billion by about 2050 and have a chance to mitigate climate change. So, the good news is that for Nebraska, we're in the center of the universe for this second green revolution. We have a sustainable irrigated agriculture, and we have a university and a human resource base that understands the importance of that water agriculture foundation. And so if we're smart, we can actually lead the second green revolution. And I think you'll find that today's conference, the World Water for Food Conference and the Water for Food Institute, is at the spearhead of this initiative. Everyone can agree on these two points, that we have to essentially double yields on existing land and reduce the environmental footprint of agriculture. Disagreement on how you do it, but those general principles are agreed upon. So, and the other thing is that water is a limited resource. You've heard that. There's all kinds of other uses and competition for it. So it's clear that we're going to have to double those yields while using less water per unit of yield. So that's clear. Here's the problem. In the United States, for instance, and globally by and large, there's no large effort of research focused on that issue. That is, doubling yields and reducing water use. We have some work on doubling yields that goes on over here. We have some use on saving water, and that goes on over here without regard to doubling yields. The problem is that that's not likely to succeed, because the answer you get when you work on water efficiency without the pressure of increasing yields is very different. And the answer you get with how to increase productivity if you don't have to carry the burden of reducing water use are also different. And so I think the irony right now, and the single thing that's so clear to me at least, is we need a massive state, national, and global effort with the purpose, focus, tightly. How are we going to double yields and reduce the water footprint of agriculture? And the university, the state, the nation that can do that is going to be a world leader in global food security.